Father God, we want to thank you today for Easter. And as we come together, we pray that we want to hear your word. May your Holy Spirit stir our hearts and speak to us. Lord Jesus, be lifted up high, and we want to glorify God our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A story was told of a man named Jack. Jack was driving on a dark country road one night when he had a flat tire. From a distance, he saw a cabin in the woods and he began to walk towards the cabin. He told himself that the person who answered the door would be angry and irritated for the disruption. In fact, the person would probably harm him. He was probably a truly terrible person. Who else would live out in the woods away from the people and live all alone? Jack convinced himself that the person who lived in the cabin was a menace to society. So as he knocked the door, when the door opened, Jack quickly punched the man in the nose and ran away back to his car. This is what negative self-talk does to us. He was so afraid. He already had made up in his mind how that person looked like and didn't give that person a chance. This morning, don't be like Jack in the story. This morning, you have come so near to God in joining us for the Easter Sunday service. Allow God to speak to your heart. Open up your mind, open up your heart, instead of thinking to yourself that God is an angry God. God is not an angry God. God is a holy God, but a loving one. This morning is Easter Sunday, when followers of Christ around the world gather together to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we talk about resurrection, we must ask a very important question. And the important question is this: did Jesus die to begin with? Because if Jesus didn't die, then there's no need for a resurrection. John chapter 19, verse 28 to 42 records for us in detail. And in fact, just now, the worship team during pre-worship brought us through a big part of it. It records for us the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to discuss that in detail. You can read it for yourself later on. But I just want to highlight one verse. John 19, verse 30. I don't have it on the slide, but it reads like this. You listen. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Bible tells us that Jesus died. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That is a way to describe death, giving up our spirit. If the Roman soldiers half suspect that the criminal is not dead, what would they do? They would go to the cross and then they would break the leg of the criminal. Breaking a leg is no joke. I've broken a hand before, so I know the pain. If you pretend to be dead and somebody breaks your leg, you will surely give out a scream. Or you will move. That is to make sure that the criminal is dead. But when they came to Jesus, they saw clearly that he was already dead. So they didn't break his leg. But instead, what did they do? The soldier pierced his side with a spear, puncturing his lung and his heart to make sure that he died. And then subsequently, The body of Jesus was taken down and it was buried. Now that we have established that Jesus is dead and buried, then we can talk about the resurrection. In John chapter 20, it records for us the narrative of the empty tomb and his appearance to his disciples. Starting from John chapter 20, verse 1. Follow on as I read for us. Early on the first day of the week, referring to Easter Sunday, Sunday is the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, referring to John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. John was the better runner. And reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Fast runner, faint-hearted. Simon Peter came along from behind, went straight into the tomb, overtook John, went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that has been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. John has a very interesting way of writing about himself. You know, this is taken from the Gospel of John. Right, so he's talking about him, himself and Peter visiting the tomb. But the way he writes it is he says that, you know, the other disciple. Okay. Here we read that the tomb supposedly containing Jesus was empty. What could possibly happen to Jesus? Okay, in our heads we can think, right? Did the disciples come and steal his body? No, it's not the disciples, right? So they suspected, did the Romans take the body? No, because the Romans actually placed two guards outside the tomb, remember? And rolled a big stone over it and stood guard outside. If they wanted to steal the body, they wouldn't have to wait until then, right? Did the animals came in and ate up Jesus? Remember the cloth that wrapped his head was still in the place where the head was supposed to be, away from the other linen? After they buried Jesus, they rolled a huge stone over the door, placed two Roman guards over the tomb to ensure that nobody touches the body of Jesus. So there's no way anyone or any animal could have taken the dead body. There can only be one other possibility. Jesus was resurrected. We know that the resurrection is real because Jesus appeared to many people. His first appearance was to Mary Magdalene. We have read that, right? This is a timeline of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. And then over the next few days, next few weeks, and then the 40th day where Jesus ascended. Mary Magdalene appeared in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus appeared not just to Mary Magdalene, but also to another group of women. I think this side better. They can see the pointer. right? Mary Magdalene, another group of women, and then later on to Simon Peter, to Cleopas and companion on the road to Emmaus, and then later on we will study in detail the 11 disciples minus Thomas, and then 1 week later the 11 disciples including Thomas, and then the 7 disciples at the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee over the next few weeks, and a big gathering, a large gathering at the mountain in Galilee, and then to James, and then the disciples where they received the Great Commission, and then Jesus ascended into heaven right before their very eyes. With so many people encountering Jesus, the resurrection has to be real and credible. Because at that time of writing the Gospels, some of these people were still around. These people saw and they believed. Let us now continue with John chapter 20, zooming in on the appearance of Jesus to his 11 disciples minus Thomas. That is found in John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21. Okay, that is where we are. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." We pause here for a while. On that very first resurrection Sunday evening, okay, that evening, the disciples were in the house with the doors locked because they were afraid that they would be crucified like Jesus. You understand? The Romans had just crucified their teacher, and the disciples were afraid that the Romans will come for them and also crucify them. So they were very afraid. They locked the doors. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus just appeared. He didn't knock the door. He just appeared. This is very interesting, right? And then we go on. After he said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side. Can you imagine somebody with a big hole in his hand? When you get to heaven, you know who is Jesus? The one with the hole in the hand. That is Jesus. The disciples were overjoyed. They were very happy when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father hath sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive another one's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So for whatever reason, he wasn't there, right? So there was only 10 of them, because out of the 12, Judas betrayed Jesus, didn't come back, and then now Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples, when they saw Thomas, they told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas has got a nickname. I think some of us know his nickname. He is known as, or popularly known as, Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Imagine yourself as Thomas. Okay, just nice, we have 11 pastors. Okay, just nice. Imagine that we are 11 disciples, 11 pastors in QBC. same number as the apostles. One day, all 10 of them went for morning devotion. I wasn't there for whatever reason. And then when I came to office, they told me, Pastor Leonard, we saw our Lord Jesus Christ this morning during devotion while you were away for a visitation. During morning devotion, we saw the Lord. We saw his nail pierced hand. We saw there was a hole in his side. What do you think Pastor Leonard will think? You all sabotage me. You all play a prank on me, right? You all gang up and have some fun with me, right? I think that's what I will think. It is no surprise to say that unless I see it for myself, unless I see Jesus with the nail pierced hand and with a broken side, then I will believe that all of you saw the Lord. Poor Thomas, oftentimes we think of him as a doubter. We say that, hey, this disciple, useless one. You know, travel with Jesus so long, sleep with him, eat with him, listen to him, see so many miracles, and then still can doubt. But let us not be too harsh on Thomas, right? Because oftentimes, we are also like that. I'm just recounting to you what my possible reaction will be, right? Everybody saw except me. And then they tell me something so impossible, right? I would think that, hey, you all play a prank on me. To be fair, all of us are doubters. All of us are skeptics of differing degrees, right? We don't believe until we have a personal experience. You know, nothing costs us or keeps us from getting scammed, actually. It is a good thing, right? Doubting costs us from being conned by con men. I'm sure you have seen these posters warning us of scams. Familiar, right? If she asks for gift cards or credits, it could be a trap. If it's a plus number, it could be a scam. Referring to those, your handphone number, they call you, right? Scam call, and then put you on recorder. You know, this is Cantonment Police Station, but say in Mandarin. If it's too good to be true, it could be a bad sign, you know, things like that. There's nothing wrong to be skeptical or to be doubting. We have to be careful in our dealings because we live in a sinful and evil world. Experience tells us that if it is too good to be true, it's usually not true. Right? Don't be the next victim because we live in a fallen world and we must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Otherwise, we become lamb chop instead of God's sheep. Because we have been conditioned by the world to be skeptical, we subconsciously also become skeptical towards God. Even when God is not sinful and evil. Because we are so used, you know, to thinking on those kind of terms. God doesn't lie. But we are doubtful and we are skeptical. Sometimes even when we read his word. When you hear that God will forgive your sins when you confess your sins and you can believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we end up doubting God's grace. Where got so good deal? Really, man? I am a sinner. I don't need to do anything. God forgive me my sins. Because we don't think that there is free lunch in this world. I don't think God gives eternal life for free. I must earn my place in heaven. I must work for God's favor. Just like I earn my place in uni, I must work hard to keep my place in my workplace. My friends, that's what you think about God. we are like Jack in the opening story. That is not how God is. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. God doesn't lie. He wants to give it to you free. Give yourself a chance to meet Jesus. Let him speak to you before you punch him in the face and run away. Let's continue with John 20, 26. Where we read of the appearance of Jesus to his disciples, including Thomas, 1 week later. You see, because God knows that Thomas has got a big struggle in his heart now. Right? Everybody, FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, FOMO. Everybody saw Jesus, I didn't see Jesus. Some more I say I must, unless I see him, you know, then I will believe. Then he has this struggle, cannot sleep for one whole week. You know, and God knows, you know, God knows his struggle, right? And 1 week later, in verse 26, a week later, the next Sunday, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them this time around. Okay? Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." You ever wonder why Jesus must say, "Peace be with you"? Have you ever seen somebody walk through the door while you're eating dinner? You know, your mouth full, and then, you know, somebody just appeared through the wall, you know, somebody just appeared through the wall. What will you do? I'll split up all my rice and then I'll turn and run. Right or not? No wonder when he walked through the door, he said, "Peace be with you." Wait. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here." He came to Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it to my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas straight away said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me and you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The Lord knows that we will doubt. The Lord knows that we are intelligent because he made us. The Lord knows that we are just like Thomas. Friends, doubting helps us find answers. When you are not clear about something, when you want to find out something, you know, you go and search for it, you will find answers. One of the questions I'm sure all of us are thinking, how can the crucified Christ be dead for 3 days and resurrect and is alive even now? I won't believe until I see Jesus for myself, some of us may be thinking. If you are thinking this way, you are not alone. God knows your doubt, and he gives us assurance that his grace is sufficient even for the skeptic. Thomas was a doubter. The Lord knew, and the Lord met him where he is. God knows Thomas is struggling with doubts, and God appeared to him. Notice, it is not Thomas who went to the Lord, but it is Jesus who came to Thomas. It is not us going to God. It is God coming to us. When you are struggling, trying to wrap your head around how to accept this truth, God meets us where we are. I don't know what are your doubts or what are your struggles in life. I do not know. Even if I know, there's limitation. I probably can't help you. I can pray for you. I can journey with you for a while, but I can't solve your problem. But the consolation is this. God knows. And God not only knows, He can reach out to you and He can solve your problem. If you have doubts, cry out to Him and He will clear your doubts. If you have trouble, cry out to Him and He will deliver you. God says, peace be with you. Whether is it some doubts that you have, whether is it life struggle, whatever you are going through, peace be with you. He wants to give you peace. Jesus lovingly invites Thomas. Can you imagine the eyes of Jesus? Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and start believing. This morning, God is telling you and me to stop doubting Him and start believing. Acknowledge Jesus as your resurrected Lord and Savior, just like Thomas. Verse 29 is a beautiful verse. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen me and believed. Have you seen Jesus? I haven't. I do not know how Jesus looked like. I can only be sure that when I get to heaven, the one with the pierced hand and the pierced side, that is Jesus. How can I believe in Jesus whom I have not seen? You need faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what you haven't seen. If you believe what you have seen, it is not faith. You don't need faith. I am blessed because God gave me faith to believe. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believe. Have you seen electricity? Have you? I haven't, you know. Actually, one time, when I, you know, I was trying to using the test pen, trying to repair an electrical appliance, but I didn't switch off the plug. And you know what happened, right? You see a small lightning. That is electricity. I think most of us haven't seen electricity. But you know that electricity exists, right? How you know? When you switch on the switch, right? When you turn on the switch, the lights come on. We don't see electricity, but we see the evidence of electricity. Jesus appeared to many. Truly, His resurrection must be real. And if Jesus says, I died for you, I resurrected for you, and it is free, do you still want to doubt God? You think God will con you? You think God will scam you? God is not a liar. God is kind. He is not evil. He is loving. He is merciful. He is gracious. But He is holy. He must punish sin. He is a God of wrath. He must punish sin. So what does He do? Instead of punishing us, He punished our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus died for our sins so that we needn't need to die for ours. We need faith to believe that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. God wants to give you a gift. It's free. Not by works, so that no one can boast. salvation, reconciliation with God, the Creator God, is by grace through faith, not by works. God's grace to the daughter is still available for us today. God wants to help your unbelief. He's sending the Holy Spirit to stir your hearts. If today you hear God's message, not just Pastor Leonard's message, but more importantly, your inner man is being stirred, you can walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. This book already records many miracles and signs, right? But there are many more, Jesus says. The Apostle Paul says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What is the purpose of the Bible? What is the message of the Bible? The message of the Bible is that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And when you believe in him, you will have life